Welcome to Meals for Maturity, Bible talks to help you mature as a follower of Jesus, by Pastor Dom Fiocco.
My friends, even though we don't like to admit it, I think we're somewhat slaves to time. For as long as I can remember, I've strapped time to my wrist, I've hung time on the wall, ticking away, and sometimes at night, keeping me awake like a time bomb about to explode. Time ticks away on my phone, time is there in my car, even when I'm asleep, time reminds me it's time to get up. And we even have time set on our washing machines, though always slowly if you watch and wait for your load to finish. You know, 1 minute seems to last for five. And I think someone should invent an app called Show Me How to Set the Clock on My Microwave for Daylight Saving Time. And if you've got the time to watch them, we also like movies about time, and in particular, time travel. From Doctor Who to Back to the Future, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. From Groundhog Day to Run, Lola, Run. And of course, any bookstore would give you many titles on time management, how to save time, how to make time, or how to spend time. I like what Mark Twain says about time. He writes, December is the toughest month of the year. Others are July, January, September, April, November, May, March, June, October, August, and February. Back in the 1960s, if you're alive, back in that time period, you would have heard a hit song by The Byrds, Turn, 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 or just watch Forrest Gump and you'll hear it there. It was Ecclesiastes chapter 3 put to music, King Solomon's early hit on the top 10. To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven. And if you're lucky enough to have a turntable with it on vinyl, then you can do just that. Turn, turn, scratch, turn. Now, it's no surprise, it's time to take a good look at time in our Meals for Maturity on Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Because this talk took time for me to write, we'll spend four talks talking about time. So hopefully you've got the time to listen. You know, the hands on the clock just keep turning, turning, turning. And we so desperately want to reach out sometimes and stop time and just enjoy the moment. But apart from being unconscious, it seems we can't stop the hands of time. We can't retrieve time. We can't relive time like an action replay on a sports game. We can't step outside of time, unless, of course, you're Doctor Who or Marty McFly. Sometimes time appears to be relative, doesn't it? So 2 weeks holidays goes really, really quick. But 2 weeks waiting for your wedding day might seem like eternity. A 1 hour lunch zooms by, but 1 hour in a boring meeting might feel like a whole day wasted. Maybe in your workplace you can relate to the worker who once said, "I like work, it fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours." Time is everywhere around us, like the sky, and we're forever talking about it. And so we worship the Olympian who takes milliseconds off a world record time in the pool, on the velodrome, or on the track. We have drive-through places so we can eat and drive and order on our phones whilst looking for hidden cameras and save time. We like fast cars, even Fast and Furious perhaps. We like fast flights, fast coffee, fast internet, fast food, if you can call it that, and faster than a speeding bullet deliveries of pizza and post. We're a generation that really is a slave to time. Now, of course, when it comes to time, we're all on a level playing field. I mean, think about it. Each of us have been given 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 12 months a year, 1,440 minutes each day, 86,400 seconds per day. You can count them later on if you have time. And still, we cry out, "Gee, I wish I had more time." And most of the time, we're left wondering, "Where the heck did all my time go? I've run out of time," especially on a weekend or submitting an assignment. But we all have the same amount of time. And it's what we do with this allocation of time that determines the type of people we are and the future we have. But for all the clocks and timepieces we wear, they don't really tell us everything about time. For that, we need to hear more from God's word. So it's time we did that right now.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. The same author of this weird, wacky, and wonderful Old Testament book we've been looking at has, of course, also given us this refrain across chapters 1 and 2. Meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless, all is vanity. He's sort of like that depressing dinner guest that you strike up conversation with, but you end up leaving the party wanting to throw yourself off the balcony rather than using the stairs. See, across chapters 1 and 2, it's been an autobiographical account of the teacher, most likely King Solomon, and his amazing adventure to seek out and find meaning and satisfaction and purpose and answers for life under the sun. But now he changes his tune, and in chapter 3, this marvellous piece of poetry stands out. It's the most famous poem about time. It's poetry that has a rhythm to it, like a swinging pendulum on a grandfather clock, back and forth, back and forth. It's like breathing, inhale, exhale. The seasons of life just swing around. It's the Lion King's circle of life. You can hear it playing in the background. It's time just taking its course, of course. It's time ordained and ordered by God himself. We had Sarah read 14 pairs of direct opposites, two lots of sevens. The word time is repeated 28 times. Time ticks on by, and it brings the good and the bad. Life's like that, isn't it? It's full of contrasts. So the newspapers celebrate birth notices, but the same page announces funerals. Floods rage in one state of Australia, whilst the same day across the country, bushfires blaze out of control. Doctors at the hospital celebrate the latest breakthrough to sustain life longer in someone. But in the same hospital, someone on the cancer ward is told their treatment won't bring healing. The same day my wife Leslie gave birth to one of our beautiful daughters in hospital, another set of parents grieved the death of their daughter who was a stillborn. It's time, bringing good and bad. It's time, full of contrasts. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3 asks us to examine life around us and see these contrasts, to listen to and see the swinging pendulum of time. Not that all these things that we had read in the poem happened to us, but it's a picture of life under the sun or under heaven. I think he's hinting at God here in chapter 3, verse 1, where later in chapter 5, verse 2, he tells us explicitly, "For God is in heaven and you are on earth." Well, let me unpack this timely poem under three headings. So, telling the time, firstly, east of Eden. Telling the time, secondly, again and again. And telling the time, being busy. And then I'll try and make some sense of all this for our lives this very day, this very time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, teaches us to tell the time and to read time correctly. That is, it's time lived east of Eden. This poem's telling us, among other things, that time can hurt as we live it out east of Eden. its time being lived out in a fallen, broken, sinful, hurting world. Listen to the words used across the poem. A time to die, a time to kill, tear down, weep, mourn, a time to hate, a time for war. You see, words like these didn't exist in the perfect Garden of Eden before sin entered time. This time poem is full of words that remind us that paradise is lost, that evil and sin and Satan's influence are present in our lives and across our world. It's telling us that tears can flow easily at night, even if you wake up that day with joy in your heart. That you might have good health on a Monday, but by Friday you're diagnosed with cancer. Your diary might say holidays are coming, but your boss might tell you it's time to look for another job. You see, try as we might, and our secular society is always looking to find utopia and to ignore the basic problem of society, that is the human heart, and our world tainted and tormented by sin and decay. But try as we might, the way we read our watches and live out our days will be a daily reminder that the effects of sin, that is rebelling against God and his perfect laws, the effects of sin will turn up time and time again. And telling the time east of Eden reminds us that we cannot hold on to things and events and planning too tightly. The only thing we can really hold tight is God himself, or rather, he holds us tightly. You see, telling the time from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're being reminded that Romans chapter 8 is our reality. For the creation and time was subjected to futility or meaninglessness, and that our lives are surrounded by the bondage of corruption. That the whole of creation, the whole of time, is groaning under the weight of sin and decay. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 teaches us to tell the time by remembering we're living east of Eden, still waiting for the final redemption to come under heaven. Secondly, telling the time again and again. We can't escape the contrasts in the seasons of life. There is a grinding relentlessness about time. If you remember chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, it says much the same thing. There is this sameness to life. Contrasting times, yes, but a sameness to our days. I mean, things just keep reoccurring over and over and over again. Turn, turn, turn. The hands of time keep going round and round and round. Verses 1 to 8 are giving us the same old routine centuries after ancient Israel. It's a description of the cycle of life. You see, I plant veggies in my garden in springtime. By autumn, it's time to pluck things up because the frost has beaten my zucchinis and tomatoes and basil. All the leaves are brown and the sky is grey. I've been for a walk on a winter's day. There was once a time to shout from the rooftop that I support Manchester United. Now it's a time to be silent. There's a time to keep your old vinyl records of Bob Dylan, but a time to throw away your ABBA CDs because you can't find a CD player anymore, except in my car because it's old. I like what one person discovered about these 28 statements across this poem. He says, 14 pluses and 14 minuses adds up to nothing at all. And that will certainly be the response of the teacher if life is lived just under the sun and with no reference at all to the God above the sun. As the book of Ecclesiastes will eventually go on to conclude, without God in heaven, there is nothing anyone on earth can do to break this time cycle. I grew up watching the great TV series Gilligan's Island when I would come home from school. If you don't know Gilligan's Island, you've probably never lived. I liked the show because it was always so predictable. If you've seen one episode, well, guess what? You've seen them all. Just sit right back and I'll tell you the tale. Each 30-minute episode has this basic plot. It starts with some sort of crisis. for the seven castaways on this deserted island. Usually the crisis happens because of something the hapless Gilligan does. And not long into the show, we find that some random person has somehow stumbled upon this deserted island, and it seems finally hope has arrived and all the seven castaways will be finally rescued, only to discover that someone, usually Gilligan again, does something silly that leaves everyone stranded once more on the island. Across all 98 episodes, hundreds of mysterious people arrive on the island, and no sooner do we find that they disappear off the island by the end of the show. But they always leave behind the seven. They're all still stuck on Gilligan's Island. And just like that show, this time poem tells us over and over again, there's a sameness to life. Day by day, year by year, season by season, time is predictable again and again and again. And no matter how much we advance in technology or education or health or with flying cars that have been promised since my childhood, it's just time after time, with Cyndi Lauper playing in the background, if you know your great 80s music, which of course will be repeated by someone else at some other time, but hers was always the best. Telling the time, East of Eden, again and again. Thirdly, being busy. Now, across this poem, there's always something going on. If you aren't knocking down walls, you're building and renovating your house, which is why we have the Temple of Bunnings that you can see from outer space. If you aren't downloading the latest update, you're deleting files. If you aren't welcoming a family member at the airport, you're farewelling them with an embrace and tears in the airport lounge. If you're not delivering a calf on your farm, then you're taking a knife to a sick lamb. At least that's what I remember from my childhood, watching All Creatures Great and Small and the legendary vet James Herriot. There always seems to be something going on across this poem. Life and time can be busy. Remember the great lyric from John Lennon, "Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans." And a common cry of most people you talk to today is, "Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm just crazy busy. Yeah, I'm too busy to tell you how I'm so busy. Busy, busy, busy." This time poem is busy. And it can then lead us to being toilsome and weary and burdensome. It's the stuff of Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2 again. In fact, the next line in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 9 speaks about busyness and work and toil. Remember, we're living life under the sun, under heaven, and there remains a restlessness to us, a busyness that we can't seem to escape. So thanks for giving me your time to help us all tell the time. Firstly, East of Eden, again and again, and thirdly, time is always busy. And now for the rest of our time, I want to leave us with two timely conclusions. Firstly, we're not in control of time. Now, this should be obvious by now, shouldn't it? The opening line of the poem shows us this, doesn't it? A time to be born and a time to die. From the cradle to the coffin, we follow God's timetable and his sovereign watch, not ours. We have this illusion that we are somehow in control of time. But then God brings along a mystery virus to close down airports and time travel. Or he fills our clean air with smoke from bushfires or hail from heaven or winds from Antarctica. We like to think we're the masters of our own destiny, that if we read enough time management books, we can get on top of the chaos until an internet outage comes along and we can't do anything because we don't have Google. Or some war breaks out on the other side of the world. Or the Suez Canal is blocked, so Amazon can't deliver what we so desperately need. And everything from toilet paper to tofu comes to a standstill. And for those of us, like me, who like to tick things off from our to-do lists, this can really tick us off, because we're not really in control of time, even though we like to think so. I imagine most of us have seen the movie Titanic. It ends rather badly, by the way, just like the true story. But in the movie Jack, or Leonardo DiCaprio, he climbs onto the ship's bow and he throws out his arms into the wind and he shouts, "I'm the king of the world!" And he pumps his fists a few times, probably thinking about the pay packet he'll get from starring in this movie. But then a few scenes later, poor old Jack is not quite claiming omnipotence over the creation. He's not quite all-powerful over the wind and the waves and the iceberg. Instead, this king of the world goes down with this unsinkable ship, and Jack is no more. And the movie illustration serves to remind us that our times, our life, are actually in the hands of our Creator and our Judge. A time to be born and a time to die lies in God's hands. And the Bible consistently teaches us this, doesn't it? It is God who sets the calendar for you and me. It's God who decides whether your next day is going to be a good one or an absolute shocker. It's God who brings a marriage or a funeral into your life. It's God who gives a baby in the womb or an empty one. It's God who brings a good job or no employment. It's God who decides when you die and when you go on living. There's not one person who can write in their diary today that in 1 week's time you will have a time of great celebration and feasting and guarantee it, because you may find yourself attending a family funeral on that day, or it might even be your funeral. It is God who sets the calendar, the times, the seasons of life. He is in charge of the time poem of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So firstly, we're not in control of time. Secondly, because of this, we are to trust the one who turns the hands of time. Trust the one who turns the hands of time. I never get tired of reminding God's people of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Friends, don't ever get tired of hearing it and living by it. That in all things, or we could say at all times, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes in Christ Jesus. Do you want to learn time management under the sun? Then the Bible will tell us over and over again, trust the one who turns the hands of time, who rules the hands of time, who wrote the time poem of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and who governs all things according to his sovereign will in Christ our Saviour. I don't know what time or season God's bringing into your life right at this moment. I can't even see you to tell you, even if I did know. But I can tell you this with great gospel confidence, as I tell myself, with King David in Psalm 31, you can cry, "My times, O Lord, are in your hands. And therefore I will cry out to you to help me to trust you in faithful obedience, in patient waiting, in joyful anticipation, because Romans 8:28 stands eternal."
Thanks for listening to Meals for Maturity. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.